week because we were up at Greenwood for our yearly retreat. But we were in 1 Kings chapter, we'd finished up chapter 13, and I guess for those that haven't been with us regularly, we've been going through, again, 1 Kings, David, Solomon, and now we're down to the divided kingdom. And the last session, we spent quite a bit of time discussing Jeroboam, who, of course, was the first king of the northern kingdom. And I passed out, when we started this study, a list of a list of the kings of Israel and Judah, and then some of the prophets that will come in to this. So maybe I can ask Brother Haley, if you haven't gotten this, you can raise your hand and Brother Haley will give one to you. You can use it today or tomorrow or whenever you want. And I thought it was a fairly decent chart of the kings in both Judah and Israel. So, where are we today? Again, we spent most of last time looking at Jeroboam, the first king of Israel. And I guess a couple of summary comments as we look over these kings. The kings of the north, I think to a king, were evil men. I don't believe we find any that have much redeeming value in them. On the kings of the north, the kings of Judah, we occasionally find a good one. We will mention one today. The first one that started out in Judah was not a particularly good king. Caused a lot of trouble. He carried on. That would be Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son. Early in his reign there, he asked for advice. He took the advice of counselors that weren't giving him good advice, and he increased the taxation and the burden on the people. So we wouldn't characterize him as a particularly good leader. And we're off to a bad start in both Israel and Judah, the first two leaders after the split of the kingdoms. Let's see, Jeroboam in the north was particularly bad. He had set up a religion up there, so to speak. He had declared two sites up there to be where the people of the north would come to to worship. Would no longer have to go to Jerusalem, which violated the laws of the feast, and just caused a lot of difficulties there. Anytime you see a man-made religion taking over what God had ordained, it was becoming a problem there in the north also. So the last time, again, we were focusing on Jeroboam, the king of the north, and today we will see what becomes of his reign. And the way that the lesson writer has set up the lessons here, we kind of go from end of Jeroboam and then over to Ahab. So there, if you look on your chart there, that's a pretty good jump between from Jeroboam down to Ahab. So we skip over six or seven different rulers of the northern kingdom. I think I'll try to go over them real briefly today. I know every time I've undertaken a look at kings, I think I've been probably lazy myself and have kind of looked over this. So maybe a little more discipline this time's in order. So maybe we'll just kind of try to trace these kings through as we go through this. With that said, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 14, And this is after the after Jeroboam has established his new religion, or his substitute religion, whatever you want to term it, in the north there. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 14. First Kings 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there, who told me that I would be king over this people." So again, we see Ahijah there. He was the one who, as it said in verse 2, he came to Jeroboam early on and told him that he would be the king over the northern kingdom. He's going back to him. He's not going back to him. He's sending his wife back to him. So verse 3, "Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child." So they're going to the prophet to find out what's going to happen with their sick child. And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. So this is probably 20 to 25 years after the first episode that Ahijah had with Jeroboam. Jeroboam was ruler of the northern kingdom for 22 years, and Ahijah came to him before he took over there. So, you know, we're talking 20, 25 years. apparently, Ahijah the prophet has become old during that time and could not see. Verse 5, "Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, 'Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman.'" So the Lord goes to Ahijah and tells him what's about to happen. "And so it was," verse 6, "when Ahijah heard the sound of her footstep as she came through the door, he said, 'Come in, wife of Jeroboam.'" So he doesn't let on that he's buying into this ruse at all. He identifies who she is. "Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourselves other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free, and I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge until it is all gone. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." So this prophecy is told to Jeroboam's wife that it's over, you know, because of the sins you've committed in setting up your own religion. The crown of the kingship will be taken away from you and your family. Verse 14. "Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day. What? Even now. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from the good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. So this is a prophecy that will come true later on. This isn't going to come true exactly about the taking to a different land. Verse 16, and he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tiraz. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died, just as it was prophesied that the child would die. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, so he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. So we see the end there of Jeroboam. It didn't end good for his family. His son died. And then another son was put in his place. Now, as I said in the lesson book, we skip from here, from that point down to Ahab. But let's take a few minutes and go through kind of the chronology of the reigns, both in Israel and in Judah, to get us to that place. Now, we've read that Jeroboam was in office, or was the king for 22 years. Now, one of the difficulties you run into is when you look at these kings of the north and the south, it'd be nice if they had concurrent terms of periods of being king for the same amount of time, but of course they don't. So Jeroboam was in for 22 years. Then when you look in the south, Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, he was in for 17 years, and then his son, Abijah, was in for 3 years, so we're up to 20 years, and then Asa was the king for 41 years. So we see that if you look at those concurrent periods there, Jeroboam, there were actually three kings in the southern kingdom during the time that he was the king of the north. So what we'll do now at this point, the scripture actually shifts back to the south and gives us a quick recap of what's happening in Judah during this time period. So let's do the same thing. Again, we've been focusing on Jeroboam in the north. Now we're going to look in the south and what transpires there over the next several kings. So let's see, we can pick that up in verse 21 of chapter 4, right where we left off. We go back to Rehoboam, the king of Solomon's son, the king of the southern kingdom. Verse 21, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. So again, as I commented earlier, the south is not off to a much better start than the north was. They committing evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see what the transgressions were in verse 23. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And I know one of the commentaries I was looking at, they were saying or speculating, that's the right word, that a lot of this problems in the south is kind of a remnant of Solomon. As you remember, he had all these foreign wives, and they brought foreign religions in with them. And there seems to be a strong remnant of that even in Rehoboam's rule there, that there are a lot of these religious practices that Solomon brought in are still existing under the sun. Let's see. And this is interesting too. We begin in verse 25. It speaks about, you may recall when we started this, the temple that was built by Solomon. There's a reference to what happens in the temple there in verse 25. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorways of the king's house. And so it was, whenever the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guards carried them and then brought them back into the guard chamber. So you will recall when we talked about the temple being built, it was built with much gold. So we see here that the king of from Egypt comes up, you know, and essentially sacks the temple and takes away many of the gold things and replaced by bronze. Certainly not nearly as valuable as those things that were stolen. Now, verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his father and was buried with his father in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. So the southern kingdom. The first king there is dead, and the kingdom has been passed on to his son. So let's see how the son does. We said that the Solomon's son Rehoboam was evil. Let's see how the son does. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Naboth, Abijam became king over Israel, over Judah. And I guess to point out in that first verse there in chapter 15, it's one of the confusing parts of reading first and second or first Kings is you keep switching back and forth. The scriptures place where the leader was of the north or south, whichever one you're talking about, it places where the corresponding leader was on the other in the north or south. And we'll read that again. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, as I said earlier, so King Jeroboam was still in place in the north. The son of Nebat, Abijam, became king over Judah. So in the 18th year, the son became the leader of the southern kingdom. Maybe this isn't, but it, again, it's one of those things that you really have to almost have a chart in front of you if you can't figure out where these different kings fall in. But anyhow. Then verse 2, he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father. So here's this second king of the southern kingdom. He's not doing so good either. He walked in all the sins of his father. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his father, and they buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. So we've gone through the second king in the southern kingdom, in Abijam, and he was no better than his father. He reigned for 3 years, and then his son Asa took over. Now, Asa, we'll find, was one of the good kings of the south, and we'll read that in the next couple of verses. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, and again we're going back to showing how this relates to the reign of Jeroboam. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and as did his father David. So we see there that we have a good king. He did right in the eyes of the Lord and did what as did his father David. So we have Asa taking over in the southern kingdom, a good king, and he actually ruled for 41 years. So he had a nice long reign, certainly longer than the two that came before him. Now, we're going to switch back in the next couple of minutes and look at, again, what is happening in the north. And one thing you saw in the southern kingdom, there was a nice transition of leadership between father and son, father and son. We don't see that in the north. There'll be a son that'll take over, but then something usually more drastic happens than passing it along. And we may not cover them all today, but let's go to chapter 15, verse 25. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 25. Now, this is again, we're talking about Nadab in Israel. So he was the son of Jeroboam I. He's the son that took over from Jeroboam. Verse 25, chapter 15. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. So there he's being related to Asa, the king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. So another bad king for the northern kingdom. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha killed him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. So we see in the south, in the north, that there's no nice transition from one king to the next. In many cases, we have this Baasha who comes along, and you look on your list there, he's the third one there. He comes along and he kills King Nadab and takes over the kingdom through that. And so we have a second kind of dynasty, if you want to look at it that way, taking place in the north. You know, the first dynasty was Jeroboam and his son. They're killed, or the son is killed, and this guy takes over. Baasha takes over. And then verse 29, just to make sure nothing further is going to happen with the first king's family. Verse 29, and it was so when he became king, and we're talking about Baasha, that he killed all the house of Jeroboam. So he's making sure that this first king and his family aren't coming back. He's killed all the house of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servant Abijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam. So we go from Nadab, and then Baasha we went from Nadab, who was killed. Baasha took over. Baasha was in the king for 24 years. And then his son takes over, Elah, E-L-A-H, and he was the king for 2 years. Now, and flip over to, we're in chapter 16 now, and we'll read of Elah. And the intrigue continues here, and the violence in the northern kingdom. Chapter 16, verse 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. So here's this his servant, not the kind of servant you would like to have. He comes in and kills him and takes over the kingdom on the basis of that violence. So again, we see the father and the son, and nope, the son is gone, and a new guy steps in, Zimri. So how does Zimri make out here? Not so well either. Verse 11, then it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. Same thing that happened earlier, the whole family is wiped out. He did not leave him one male, neither of his kinsmen nor of his friends. So he's just wiping out everybody from the earlier reign. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all he did, are they not written in the books in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Now, we'll take a quick look at Zimri, and that'll be it for us this morning. Zimri doesn't last very long. We'll find out quickly here. Verse 15, in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tiraz 7 days. So he's in office 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now the people who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tiraz. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. So this guy, Zimri, had been in office for 7 days. There was an insurrection. Omri came, and and Zimri burned the house down upon himself. So we see here the first seven kings there in the in the northern kingdom don't do very well. Much violence and wiping out of the family. And again, as I said, in the south, you see kind of an orderly transition. It goes from father to son, father to son. It starts that way in the north, but the son usually doesn't fare too well. So, and we're almost down to where we want to start the next time, and we'll start talking about Ahab. He's the next king that comes on after Omri. And then we see one of the major prophets that come in to the picture here also. Elijah comes in on this. So that's all I had intended to cover today. And again, next time we will pick up and we will devote a couple sessions to Ahab and Elijah. All right. Thank you.